Thank you, Pastor. It's a real privilege to be back with you. It's been a while since we've been down in this neck of the woods, and we're grateful for the opportunity to come. Thank you for the good meal tonight, and looking forward to the fellowship in these days ahead. I'll ask you to turn to Matthew chapter number 28 this evening, Gospel of Matthew chapter number 28, and we're going to be looking this week, God willing, at the subject of the Great Commission. The Great Commission. And my, what a subject that is. Let's stand tonight. We'll reverence God's Word together. And I want to begin down in verse number 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your precious word tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you'll open the Scripture to our hearts and help us to open our hearts to the Scripture. Lord, we pray you'll breathe on us. Lord, you told us, without me you can do nothing. Lord, we're looking to you as the author and finisher of our faith. And I pray, dear God, you might, Lord, write on the tables of our heart a good chapter of victory in these days. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us in such a fashion that we wouldn't get over what you do. But for time and eternity, I ask you to work in those that are gathered. And may this not just be another lecture or another sermon, but Lord, do something special in hearts. And we'll give you glory by your precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Great Commission. Now, there are some today that would deny that this commission is for us. They would say it has nothing to do with us. This book of Matthew is a book written just for the Jews. But throughout the rest of the New Testament epistles, everything that is stated in this commission is repeated not just once, but multiple times. Now think about these ultra-dispensationalists of this hour that try to eliminate certain passages of Scripture. I heard one the other day that said 2 Chronicles 7:14 has nothing to do with us today. And my mind began to go through that passage and connect the dots all the way through the New Testament. If my people, well, how do we become the people of God? Peter said, you were not a people, but now are a people of God. If my people, which are called by my name, well, what name are we called? They were first called Christians at Antioch. Would humble themselves, anything said about humility in the New Testament. And pray, is there anything said about prayer throughout the New Testament? And seek my face, he said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And turn from their wicked ways, my. The doctrine of repentance is throughout the entirety of the New Testament. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Well, just like 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a verse that is for us even today, so is this great passage that we read before you called the Great Commission. Now, thank God for those that don't deny it, those that don't try to dispensationalize it out, they just do it. They just practice it. And that's the thing I see about the promises of the Word of God. The best way to help folk realize that it's real is just believe it, practice it, and do it, and watch God perform His Word. Amen. Now, I want to say this commission is great, number one, because of the fact that it was given. The fact that it was given. Look in verse number 18. And Jesus. That name alone
attached to this commission tells us that it's great. And Jesus, well, who is He? Well, He is the incarnate Son of the living God. He was the one that was born in this world as God the Son. He is the eternal Lord that took on Himself the form of a man and walked among us, not the nature of an angel, but the nature of a man, a pure man, a holy man, having an earthly mother but no earthly father, the one who fulfilled all the lineages and all the requirements that the Messiah had to fulfill. Born at the right time, born in the right place, born of the right family, born of the right nation, born of the right people. Thank God Jesus Christ is the incarnate Son of the living God. And so any commission He gives is great. Amen. Not only His incarnation, but His perfection. We've read through the Gospels and we've seen that the Lord Jesus was the perfect Son of God. At the end of the way, He looked at the Pharisees and said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" And there wasn't a one can lay their finger on Him. Even Pontius Pilate, as much as he wanted to, couldn't find any fault in Him. The dying thief hanging on the cross said, "This man had done nothing amiss." And the word sin means to miss the mark. That dying thief examined him, looked him over and said, "He hasn't missed the mark." Now we have. We're guilty. We deserve what we're getting. But this man, he had done nothing amiss. He lived and he died in perfection. But then I think about his crucifixion. He died as no man has ever died. He suffered as no man has ever suffered. And they tried to do their dead level best to totally annihilate and destroy him. And he shed every drop of his blood upon the cross of Calvary. They beat him to shreds. And then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus wrapped him in linen cloth and laid him in a tomb. And the devil and all of his crowd said, "We've done away with him. We won't have to worry about another word from this deceiver." But thank God there's another part of this story. And that is the resurrection. On Sunday morning, Mary went down. And she thought she was going to give Jesus a proper burial. But somebody had already beat her to the tomb. And the stone was rolled back and the keepers were shaking like dead men. And she ran and got Peter and John. They examined it, shook their heads and said, "We don't know what's going on." But she turned and looked in and there were the angels, one at the head, one at the foot. They said, "Woman, why weep ye? He's not here. He's risen." She just turned away from them and she saw a dark, shadowy figure in that garden. And he said, "Mary." And when he said, "Mary," there wasn't anybody could say Mary like he could say Mary. "For my sheep, they know my voice." And she knew the voice of the shepherd. And when he said that, peace flooded her heart. The light of God shed upon her soul. And she said, "Rabboni, my very own master." And from thenceforth, she went back and told the disciples. He revealed himself for 40 days and 40 nights after many infallible proofs that he was alive to over 500 brethren at one time. Praise God, he walked through walls. He ate honeycomb and fish with the disciples. And he restored them from a backslidden stupor and state. And now we're standing on a Judean hillside. And Jesus spake. And the fact that he spake makes it the Great Commission. All that he accomplished, all that he did, all that he proved, who he was. And Jesus spake. Hallelujah. So, number two, not only the fact it was given, but look at the fellowship to whom it was given. In verse 16, the Bible said, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." When he originally gave this great commission, he gave it to just a handful of men. Judas Iscariot had betrayed him, had hung himself, he was dead and gone. And the 11 disciples were called to go into Galilee. And there they were. It was just a small number. And when you think about the enormous task that Jesus gave, to give it to 11 to begin with, That makes it a great commission. I want 11 men to come up here with you, will you? You two boys, come right here. Stand right here. There's two. Brother, three. There's four. Come on, brother. There's five. There's six. Come on, brother. Stand right here. There's six. Come on. All right, give me five over on this side. Can you hop up, brother? All right, there's one in the purple. Two. Right back here, brother. Three. Here's four. Brother Richburg, here's five. 11 men. He's going to give the commission to go into all the world. Preach it to every creature. Just a handful. Now that's a mighty big job for a small number. But it's not going to end with that small number. Because they're going to go back. And they're going to tell others. There'll be 120 in the upper room when the Lord's Holy Ghost comes. And then Peter's going to preach. And the Lord's going to save 3,000 souls on one day. And they're going to repeat that great commission that was given to them. What I'm trying to say is, it had a very small beginning, but it did not have a small end. Amen. And here we are standing in 2017 at this church, and this gospel message is being preached to multitudes of churches around the world even right now. And look how the gospel is multiplied and how it's gone forth. Now each one of those men might say to themselves, what difference can I make? What can I do? Young man, look at me. You might think, what can I do? What difference would it make? It made a lot of difference. Because it started with just a handful, just a few men. And each man took that responsibility to themselves. And then they began to carry and do what they could. And from there, it began to multiply and it began to grow. You might ask yourself tonight, well, you know, I'm just a young person. I'm not highly educated. I don't have a lot of money. What can I do? You remember, when the Lord called these men, they were not rich men. Matter of fact, Peter didn't even have enough money to pay his tribute to get into the outer court, which cost him a half a shekel of tribute money. And Jesus said, go fishing. And the fish had a shekel in his mouth. He opened it up. And Jesus said, you go give that for me and thee. And Jesus took care of his stuff. But the beggar came by even after the resurrection and said, alms, alms. And Peter and John, the leading men of God, turned their pockets inside out. They said, silver and gold have I none. Those guys were busted. You think about it, fellas. Your pockets are empty. You don't have a red cent or a credit card. You have no money. You're broke. You don't have a job. Jesus done called you off the water. You've given up your fishing boats. You're empty-handed. How are you going to do this? Could you imagine if we didn't have money today, what despair would hit our churches all over the world? Oh, preacher, the Great Depression's hit. The dollar has devaluated. There's no money in the bank. Our money's no good anymore. What are we going to do? Well, what did they do? They went forth with a great commission, and look what God has done. Can you imagine the trillions, multiplied trillions of dollars that have poured through the hands of God's church to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And yet it started out with 11 broke brethren. Amen. They weren't rich. And they were men that had just been restored. You remember Barnabas said, hey, let's take John Mark with us. Paul said, no way. He bailed out on us last time when trouble got here. He's not going back with us. Barnabas said, oh, please. Paul said, no way. He's not going. And they came to a division. Paul went one way and Barnabas went the other way. And you know, what if the Lord had done that? Peter, you cursed. You denied. You knew. Bail out. You're out of here, boy. Forget it. No, he restored him. Praise God, there stands Peter. And all the rest of them, except for John, forsook him at the foot of the cross. And then even John
was in that bunch fishing when Jesus come walking on the seashore of Galilee and had to call them back off out of the fishing and the boat life. He had to be restored too. He wasn't above those things. He's just like them, but they were restored. And sometimes when somebody bails out on you like that, you wonder, can you have confidence in that? I mean, can you have confidence in them? Well, the Lord didn't have so much confidence in them as He had in Himself, because He knew that, praise God, if they fell 6 times, He'd lift them up 7 times and He'd keep them marching right on. They were not perfect men. I would to God we had some perfect men. But there are no perfect men. We're going to make blunders. We're going to make errors. We're going to have trouble. We'll be defeated in many a battle along the way. But the war has already been won through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, preacher, you know, I'm not perfect. Well, neither were these guys. But look at the burden of the Great Commission that fell upon them. Now think about the fact they weren't respected. Oh, these are Galileans. Your speech betrays you. Yeah, just like my speech, you know I'm not from New York. Well, they had a Galilean tongue, and they were not respected at all. The ignorant, unlearned men, they said. But one thing about these guys, we know they've been with Jesus. And they had an education and an understanding of the things of God that you didn't get in the seminary, sitting under Gamaliel or any of the rest of those Pharisaic schools. They had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had walked in His presence. They had learned His ways. And they went forth declaring and observing the things that the Lord Jesus taught them to do. And that was the effective thing that touched the world in that hour. And you know who the Lord's looking for today? You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be respected of this world and men of rank. We've just got to be right with God and humble our heart before Him. Thank you, men. You may be seated. I appreciate that. So this commission was great because of the fellowship to whom it was given when they started out. But then thirdly, this commission is great because 5 times it was given. Not just 1 time. But 5 times Jesus personally gave the Great Commission. Now, we've read our text in Matthew chapter number 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. This comes at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And you know that Matthew was written to present Jesus as the King, as the Sovereign, the One who had all power in heaven and in earth. And the King gives this commission. And since He's not just an earthly king, an earthly potentate, but He is the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, then what He says has great weight to it, and it makes it the Great Commission, because it wasn't given by just some common man, but it was given by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Therefore, we ought to perk our ears up and listen to what He's saying. Then I want you to turn, if you will, please, over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 16. And this is the second time that it's given. The Gospel of Mark is the Gospel of the servant of Jehovah. There's no genealogy. You don't care about the genealogy of a servant. We read the word "and." Mark would have failed, and this paper would have been turned, if he went to Pensacola Christian College and turned his thesis about Jesus in, it would have come back with red marks all over it. And. You read through it, just circle the "and." You'll probably run out of ink in your pen before you get through the Gospel of Mark.
And the reason being, the servant is busy about the Father's business. He's doing. Amen. And look there in chapter number 16. And the Bible tells us in verse number 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Preach, 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 serve, preach, preach, herald, declare, proclaim. I want that to be the main emphasis. As you serve me, here's what I want you to do. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidelined. Keep this the main thing of serving Him in preaching the Word of God. And it seems like today that preaching has become a minimal thing in the house of God. They build churches on Bozo the Clown, Bimbo the Elephant, and everything else. I go to churches, Brother Tim, and I appreciate getting straight to the task and straight to the business. But I go to churches and they'll have 25 minutes of announcements on Sunday morning. The auxiliary club's going to meet. The ladies' club's going to meet. The children's club's going to meet. The toddlers' club's going to meet. And then we're going to have an outing for the fishing club. And then we've got the hunting club. And then we have the golf club. And then and they go on and on and on. And then the preacher sits down. They have a little song. He says, "Now, my preacher, people won't take but about 10 minutes preaching. We used to get out here at 12 o'clock." I'm thinking, my soul, what kind of foundation have you got? What are you building on? Go preach, preach. Everybody wants to see a miracle today. They want to see an eyeball pop back in socket or a limb straightened out. Every time you sit under anointed Holy Ghost preaching, you're involved in a miracle. That God would save a man and use a man to preach His Word. And then He would severally divide it as He wills and give each one their portion in due season. And the preaching of the Word of God does something that nothing else can do. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? There's something special that goes on in preaching. And as the servant of Jehovah, He gives this commission, make sure that you're preaching. All right, now look over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. The third time this great commission is given. Chapter number 24, starting there in verse number 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, What things? And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trust that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scripture the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight.
And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scripture? And they arose up at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and they were with them saying, the Lord is risen indeed and appeared to Simon. And the scripture tells us how that in verse number 45, he opened their understanding that he might understand the scripture and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And here's the commission. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And this is the commission of the Son of Man. He walked with these on the road to Emmaus as man with man. That's what they thought. But they got the heavenly heartburn on the inside. And then when they gathered up with the disciples, they found that Jesus had spoken unto them and given them this great commission. And notice the two great emphases in this commission. That they should preach remission of sins and repentance. Starting with repentance and then remission. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And as the sons of men, we were born wrong. You see the bumper stickers that say born right the first time? That's not correct. We were all born wrong the first time. We're headed in the wrong direction. Why are men going to hell? They're headed in that direction. But when you get saved, there is an about face. And you cannot eliminate the message of repentance out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heard a fellow the other day. He said, well, you know, you can't pay any attention to Matthew, Mark, or Luke. He said, in the gospel of John, the word repentance is not used, and therefore just believe, forget that thought about repentance. And so I just read through the gospel of John myself and saw how many times folk repented. Amen. The woman at the well, she did some repenting. The woman caught in adultery, the Lord said, go and what? Sin no more. Thank God people's lives were changed. Now, repentance is not a reformation, but it is a total turnaround. And I think some folk, they don't understand repentance because repentance is a gift of God and it's by the divine power of God. The Lord puts in you a desire to do right. You can reform, that's an outward reformation, but when you really get born again, God gives you a divine nature. Deep cries out unto deep at the noise of His waterspout, and there's a longing in your heart to do what's right. Repentance and remission of sins, the cleansing of sin. And as the Son of Man, He says, here's my commission. He said, go into all nations and declare it. Then look in the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. The Son of God gives the commission. In chapter number 20, verse 21. And Jesus said unto them, again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus was the greatest missionary that's ever been. He traveled the longest distance. He gave up more than anybody. He stayed with the task until the very end and cried, it is finished, bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And he is the ultimate example for any missionary. He's the perfect missionary. And he says, as the Father has sent me, so now I, the Son of God, I am sending you. To cap that off, the disciples are drawn off the Sea of Galilee and the Lord's feeding them. And three times he asked Peter this question, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Lovest thou me? You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I do. And he got grieved at that point. And he said, feed my sheep. And as the Son of God, you know what the Lord's interest is? Is for you to go into all the world and feed the sheep of God. Amen. Then, the last time this great commission is sent is by the anointer of the Spirit of God. Look in chapter number 1 of the book of Acts. The Lord Jesus said in verse number 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And here the Lord gives them the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power to fulfill that great commission. Now I get there, I'll send the Spirit of God to you. He'll be the enabler. He'll be the one that'll give you peace. He'll give you power. He'll give you strength to accomplish everything that I have called you to do. And the Lord gives us a mighty big task to accomplish it. And the only way to accomplish it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And the natural result of that is ye shall be witnesses unto me. You cannot help but be a witness when you get full of the Holy Spirit. Number one, there'll be a glow about you. There'll be something on you that can't be disguised. You ever had somebody come up to you and say, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And you just look at them and say, "Well, how'd you know?" "Well, I don't know how I knew. There's just something told me you was." Well, those folk knew these were ignorant, unlearned men, but they also detected something. They had been with Jesus. There's something different. I was a young man, a member of a Baptist church, lost as I could be. But God sent a Holy Ghost-filled young preacher to our community. And I sat back on the back seat of the church several months, and I watched him, and I saw something in him that I said, "That is what I need." And that something I saw in him was the fullness of the Spirit of God. And you won't have to pump it up. You won't have to force yourself. It won't be some tremendous effort that you have to put forth. It'll just be a natural overflow of the Spirit of God that's working in your heart. And that is the key to missions, having this empowering of His divine presence in His Spirit. And He said, "I want you to begin in Jerusalem." Why? Well, Jerusalem wasn't going to be intact very long. It was going to be destroyed, so there was an urgency there. Jerusalem, that's where He was crucified. Jerusalem, that's where the worst sinners were. And you ever notice the Lord never dodges bad sinners? Matter of fact, He sets His sail over to the seashore of Gad and heads straight into that graveyard where the roughest man in the community was. And Legion gets saved by the grace of God, and God turns him about and makes him a witness to such a degree when the Lord comes back 2 years later. All that crowd bring their sick, and they bring those that have need to the Lord. Last time they asked Him to leave and ran Him off. This time they're coming back. Why? Because of 2 years of labor of Legion, who was set forth to be a missionary to His own people. Hallelujah. "Go ye, therefore, into all the world." Let's be a part of this great commission.